joining us now from Sligo, Minister for Justice Charlie Flanagan. Minister, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Anya.
I imagine you never thought as Justice Minister you'd be reacting, especially on a Good Friday, that's the 21st anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, to the shooting of a journalist by self-styled Republicans in Derry.
Agree fully, and in adding my condolences to the partner, family and friends of Lyra. I want to say, of course, how very sad it is to be celebrating the 21st anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement in such a manner. This was a callous and brutal attack on the peace process, on the community in Derry. And also, of course, it was an attack on the freedom of the press and values that we in a democracy hold dearly and cherish.
This is only the start. I mean, I know the march that these dissidents had been planning for Monday has been cancelled, but this is only the start of what is going to be a long marching season in the north this summer. Are you particularly worried this year with the tensions that are there and now with this murder, how that marching season will go?
Well, what's particularly worrying is the instability, the riots, and of course, at the brutal murder last night. And there can never be justification for such an attack on a community. But it does point in many respects to the political vacuum. But I'm not sure if today is the day for going into detail on that. But to acknowledge that 21 years ago, the people of Northern Ireland, the people across the island of Ireland, actually voted for peace. And I'm quite sure that if such a vote or plebiscite was held today, that there would be an even stronger endorsement of the peace process and an end to violence. I saw the statement this morning from a group describing itself as SARA. I think it was a statement that added offence, indeed gross offence, to the unlawful killing. That in itself is somewhat sickening, that a group attempted a justification. Of course, there can be no justification for such an act.
How serious? I know you. I can't expect you to reveal operational details, but overall, can you give listeners, because people are worried, a sense of the scale of the threat from dissident Republicans?
Well, the greatest threat to the security of this state at the moment, and you've got to look at this in the context of international terrorism, brutal jihadist attacks across Europe and Manchester. But the greatest single threat to the security of our state is coming from dissident Republicans. And we all need to be vigilant in that regard. Indeed, I spoke to the Garda Commissioner this morning. On Garda Síochána Síochána is in 24/7 contact with their colleagues in the PSNI. As Minister for Justice, I want to say not only that such acts of terrorism will not be tolerated, but that those responsible will be brought to justice. And there is already a high-level PSNI investigation underway. In that regard, of course, Anya, I think it's important that we would acknowledge the role on a daily and nightly basis of the PSNI across Northern Ireland, keeping the peace. And they also were targets last night.
And what about the level of cooperation between the Garda and the PSNI? And again, just to give people some sense of how that might be different now to during the Troubles, because we know that people who are committed to this kind of violence have been able to play backwards and forwards across the border to exploit that to their advantage in the past.
Yeah, well, it's not merely a coincidence that the head of our Garda Síochána is Commissioner Drew Harris, a man who is uniquely placed to bring his expertise and experience to the situation in Northern Ireland. So I'm quite satisfied that there is a very strong level of cooperation between An Garda Síochána and the PSNI. And of course, we have such agencies like the Joint Agency Task Force, which will involve more than just the police services, but also revenue and customs, because we need to ensure that any element of cross-border crime is not only not tolerated, but that those responsible are brought to justice swiftly. And I want to acknowledge the role here of the Special Criminal Court and recent successes in that regard.
And because it's not just a question, is it, of apprehending individuals, it's also a question of making sure that they don't have the funding and they don't have the access to weaponry or explosives or whatever to further their aims.
I think that's absolutely true. But we have got to acknowledge, and what is very worrying is a trend across Northern Ireland, and we've seen it in Derry in particular, where there is something of a dangerous radicalisation of young people in Northern Ireland. And that, to my mind, is a direct result of what is a political vacuum, having regard to the fact that it's over 2 years now since we've had institutions of governance in Northern Ireland.
And of course, in that vacuum, we've got Brexit, which is dividing the communities even further and, you know, creating an atmosphere that people like these dissidents presumably can try to exploit.
Yeah, that's why I think in spite of the challenges, it's absolutely essential that both governments, both the Irish government and the British government, remain on the one page as far as terrorism is concerned, and that we continue to cooperate closely in the context of our relationship north-south. And I think there's no better thing to do in the context of last night's events and the loss of Lyra McKee than to reinforce fully the terms and conditions of the Good Friday Agreement. And we should do that now on Good Friday, the 21st anniversary.
And just to be clear, because as you know, Minister, there's been a lot of commentary recently about the strain that Brexit has placed on Anglo-Irish relations. In terms of justice cooperation, at least, can you reassure us there is no strain? Relations are strong. Cooperation and dialogue are strong.
Absolutely. I meet on a regular basis with my colleague, the Home Secretary, across the water. I don't, unfortunately, have a corresponding minister in Northern Ireland. But indeed, myself and Minister Simon Coveney meet on a regular basis with people in Northern Ireland. In fact, only yesterday we had the opportunity of a very constructive and important exchange of views with the Victims Commissioner, Judith Thompson, who visited Dublin, in order to impress on us the importance of proceeding to establish the working institutions as a consequence of the Stormont House Agreement and dealing with victims and survivors and the legacy of the past. So we cannot allow drift in Northern Ireland. And that's a matter of great concern to everybody, including the Irish government.
I want to talk to you about another matter as well, Minister. And as you know, these two ATM robberies in Kells overnight. Do you think this was a copycat gang? Because there were two ATM robberies in the north itself, as well as this double one in Kells. So are there multiple gangs, or is this all the work of one gang, this crime spree?
No, I think the use of the words copycat is quite correct. In fact, they're words that I used in the context of a conversation with Minister of State and local TD Helen McEntee not an hour ago. I spoke to the Garda Commission this morning. It's clear from the facts of what happened in Kells, and indeed what's happening in both jurisdictions in recent times, that these are organised events. I want to acknowledge the rapid response on the part of the Garda Síochána, and I want to say that again, this is an issue that involves important collaboration on both sides of the border, and that is happening. And that was confirmed to me again this morning in a briefing that I received from Commissioner Drew Harris.
Mm-hmm. Despite those reassurances, though, Minister, these do keep on happening. And, you know, even the whole chutzpah of homemade spikes outside the Garda station and so on, there seems to be a confidence in whoever is carrying out these robberies, be they one gang or multiple gangs. Are you satisfied that there are enough Garda resources being brought, that in fact are the Gardaí making progress, and the PSNI, in their investigation of these crimes?
Yeah, well, it always comes back to Garda resources, and I hear people saying that there aren't sufficient resources. Of course, the logical of these statements is that if we had sufficient Garda resources, we'd have no crime. That in any society can never be the case. However, it's important that we use the resources to the optimum, and I'm satisfied both in the North Meath area and again in my conversations with the Garda Commissioner that every effort has been made. In fact, the Garda Síochána are examining leads. These are high-profile, brazen and audacious crimes. But there are people in communities who see what's going on. Obviously, there are construction industry machinery involved in this. And I would hope that everybody who has any piece of information, however innocuous they might seem, That they would contact the local Gardaí in Kells or otherwise. These are not victimless crimes. These are damaging communities. They're damaging small business. They're damaging families over the Easter weekend. And I believe it's important that those responsible are brought to justice. And I'm satisfied that the Gardaí are following definite leads.
And again, sorry to sound naive here, but most people would imagine in the 21st century that machines like an ATM, you know, that there'd be some kind of tracking device in it, so they'd be fairly easy to find. I mean, they're not exactly small or light pieces of equipment.
You're absolutely right. And that too was the subject matter of my conversation. And I believe, therefore, it's important that the banking industry might have a look at how better they might secure these machines.
Because the machines stolen so far did not have trackers?
Well, I believe it's important that every advanced technological device is available, are used. And I don't think it's beyond the wit of the banking industry to ensure that there are appropriate tracking devices.
But
again, this isn't detail
bizarre.
Now that I'm involved in this, Minister.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's just, you know, it's an obvious question that people all around the country have been asking a lot, even before these latest robberies in Kells. And when you consider, you know, the lengths you all have to, the bank makes us all go to with our passwords and all this kind of crack, it would seem a bit bizarre that they wouldn't have that level of basic security in their ATM machines.
Yeah, and in this regard, I know that the Garda Síochána are very much aware of that, and I know the PSNI are in Northern Ireland, and I know that there are contacts with the banking industry in order to ensure that everybody plays their part here.
Right, because, you know, it's no wonder the criminals are going on such an audacious crime spree if it were the case that the banks weren't using, you know, some kind of tracking device when they could do, and therefore it would seem making the criminals' jobs a bit easier.
Yeah, well, I repeat that every preventative measure must be considered and put in place, but in the meantime, I believe it's important that the community responds, works closely with the Garda Síochána. I'm satisfied that the Garda Síochána are making every effort, and I'm confident that those responsible will be brought to justice. We had an outbreak of this 10 years ago, and the ringleaders and those involved in the covert execution at night time were brought to justice. I'm satisfied that the same would happen in time, but we need the provision of evidence.
Okay, appreciate your time this lunchtime, Minister. Thank you very much indeed. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan there.